Okay. You want it here?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll, no, you sit there.
Okay. Okay.
This is my best side.
You go first.
Hey, man. Well, this is a forum that I've done with some of our other speakers and guests that we've had because I think it works better in this relaxed, more relaxed environment, because I just want them to share with you, just like we're in the living room having a conversation, and perhaps following this we'll have a few minutes for questions that if you have some. So let me start out by saying welcome to Dave Stewart. Let's welcome him. Good to have you. Dave, let me ask you to, first of all, maybe give a little bit of your background and you growing up in Clinton, Missouri, and kind of how you got on the track that you got on today.
Well, it's interesting because I started actually here, born in Providence Hospital in South Chicago, 1951. And it was interesting. My mother, my grandfather came up here with his family. My mother went to high school here during the war years and worked in the war factories because there wasn't much work in Clinton, Missouri during those years. And as a result of that, met my father in high school. And five of the eight children were born in Chicago. And I was the last to be born in Chicago. Immediately after I was born, a few months later, they moved to Clinton, Missouri, the garden capital of the world. You know where Clinton is, don't you? Okay. 60 miles south of Nome. I understand. Grew up there. In fact, I was thinking about some of the things that really happened in Clinton, Missouri. You know, Brown versus Board of Education happened in 1954. In 1957, I was going into the first grade. They had segregated schools. They had the Lincoln School on the other side of the tracks where I lived. And they had the regular public school. So in 1957, they decided they're going to integrate the schools. The Ku Klux Klan decided they were going to stop this integration. There's no way that's going to happen in Clinton, Missouri. My dad and led other men of the town to patrol the town all night long so his children could go to school safely the next day. That tells you that, you know, that it talks about honoring thy mother and thy father so your days will be long. You know, that's why I think about my dad to this day for the sacrifice him and my mom made during those very difficult, challenging times. And so I hope that you do the same. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, well, so I went through 1 through 12, first person of color to go through the 1 through 12, and I didn't know this was an issue, but I was the only African-American male to graduate out of my high school class. There was another African-American female that was in the class as well. So, I had an orientation and I dealt with things and challenges and issues and crossed those barriers and fears and misconceptions about other people that other people will maybe have some apprehension about. You know, and I think it has served me well over the years and our ability to be able to really take a look at the full body of Christ and how wonderful an opportunity is for us to work together in a way that glorifies His name. And so, growing up in Clinton, I then, in 1969, graduated and went to Central Missouri State, the University of Central Missouri. Anybody know where University of Central Missouri is? Oh, he's a graduate of Central Missouri. We were in college together. But home of the Fighting Mules. Who said that? Huh? So what's really funny about that, the Lord will even speak through a mule, right? I think he can use me in an even mightier way. So I'm a Fighting Mule of Central Missouri State. Graduated there. And I remember I played basketball there and so forth as well. It was a tremendous experience for me. After graduating, I was a business student and so forth as well. School was hard. School was difficult, and I was challenged to get through school. But I decided to go in the business school, and I graduated in 73. I remember to this day some people. There's always somebody along the way that's there to help. All you got to do is ask. It says, you have not because you ask not. And I didn't have any money when I graduated. I was really flat broke. I didn't have any money. So I wanted to go to St. Louis because I knew I would meet my bride in St. Louis. And I did. And as a result of that, ended up I borrowed $300 from a banker in Warrensburg, Missouri. And I put all my stuff in a green army duffel bag. You remember those army duffel bags? And I hitchhiked to St. Louis. With platform shoes and a dashiki and a big afro. I was 6'10" then. At least I thought I was pretty big and bad. I mean, I thought I was pretty, anyway. I ended up in St. Louis, and as a result of that, went to work for a number of companies, great companies I worked for. I was one of the first persons of color to join the railroad industry and be in sales and marketing. And so in the 70s, I was selling freight services for the railroad. Can you imagine that? And I was in St. Louis, I was in New Orleans, Milwaukee, Houston, L.A., and after that, my wife said, I think we want to settle in St. Louis. What do you think? And so we ended up back in St. Louis.
The railroad was a very segregated kind of industry at that time. Right?
You know, I went through an extensive training program, and I ended up training pretty heavily down in Louisiana. So I going through De Quincy, Louisiana, St. Charles, Louisiana, and all through that the Bayou area down there. Very dangerous down there during the 70s. I mean, they were, that's when they first started having engineers, black engineers. And they were actually derailing a lot of trains down in the bayou, wrecking those trains when the first black engineers started. And here I am down in New Orleans selling freight services, and I've had many instances where they told me, called back the office, said, don't send him back here. And so I made sure that they had to call me back. Because so during that period of time, they had what they call close to reciprocal switching, which means that you can't switch anybody else's cars in there. So I just called the operating department to tell them, don't switch another car in there until they call me. Anyway, I mean, it wasn't an retaliation. It was just that, you know, I wanted them to understand that, you know, that God can work through persons of color as well. I was bringing them something. I was bringing them a blessing, not taking anything away. So it was an interesting experience working for them, and then I eventually worked for Federal Express during the early years when Federal Express wasn't the Federal Express it is today, back in the 70s. And was in sales and marketing for them, was very successful there with them. And Fred Smith, I remember my last couple of years there, I ended up being in their sales Hall of Fame. And Fred Smith gave me this ice bucket. And I talk about this in the book, this ice bucket he gives me. And I was really excited about getting the award. And there was some symbolism about the ice bucket. When he gave it to me, it had my initials on it and everything. It was empty on the inside. And that was the first time the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I've equipped you to do this. You can do this, you know. And just kind of going back and seeing what my dad did, coming from Chicago, coming to Clinton, Missouri. We had a semi-farm. So I grew up actually milking cows and slopping hogs. Anybody know how to do that? Somebody all came up from Mississippi, didn't you? We had an outdoor bat facility. I wouldn't have an indoor facility until I was eight or 9 years old. I know how to pick greens, go out and pick greens and that whole bit, and pick a green salad. And we had pear trees, and we had apple trees, and walnut trees and so forth, and we canned stuff, and we raised these farm animals and made gardens and all that stuff. So I knew that helped me really understand the source. I know if you sow a seed, you can get a harvest. And you sow a seed and you get that 30, 60, 100 fold that the Lord talks about, right? You got to take care of it though. I want to share something with you, and so I kind of want my heart to share with you. This happened just a couple of months ago. I was asked to do the governor's prayer breakfast in Jefferson City, Missouri. So Governor Nixon said, "Yeah, I want you to come out and do this." And I kind of wrestled with that, and gosh, you know, every time I wrestle with something, I know it's the devil trying to steal something. Okay, so I went I'm gonna do this, and I brought my wife with me, Thelma, and we did that. We did an interview style, just like we're doing here right now. I had a guy that interviewed me on stage. I had the dinner with the governor the night before. Then we had a small reception that we went to. I met a number of people, wonderful people to visit with, and in the process of all that, I met some unique people. And they were asking me, you know, you ought to help us with this chapel. We're building a chapel for wounded warriors and people who have passed on and so forth. And it was the head of the National Guard of Missouri. And I didn't know who he was. It's just that I said, yeah, I'll be happy to help and support and do whatever I possibly can. I had a meeting with him just a few days ago. We talked about a number of things. We talked, first of all, about our upbringing. We had very similar upbringings and so forth. And then we talked a lot about, you know, this chapel, you know, and me sowing some seed in this chapel to build this chapel. I said, yeah, we're going to do something with that. Yeah, we're going to help. We're going to build this ministry. There'll be a place that they can come and get the word of God, be able to minister to them as well, give advice and counsel and so forth. And I was really excited about that. And he said, well, you know, by the way, I there's something I really, really wanted to talk with you about. I want you to think about, how can the National Guard of Missouri, how can the National Guard of this country partner with you? Because we do something the next stage of war is actually not about more tanks and not about more ships. It's not about more planes. It's about how do we manage and handle this cyber war that's going on. And I said, really? And he said, you know, we just happen to have in your backyard in South St. Louis, we've got a cyber security practice going on and through the National Guard. He said, it's number one in the country. I said, really? Well, I just happen to have a cybersecurity practice at Fort Meade next to the NSA, and we've got some of the top cybersecurity people in the world working for Worldwide. I'm saying, iron sharpens irons. I'm thinking, I sold what God gives us freely, His Word, at the governor's prayer breakfast, and I'm receiving a harvest already. I wasn't even going to share that. but it is so significant, but it gives me an opportunity to be able to do and give back something so special to this country, has given to me. We live in the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
And we have the... God has truly blessed this country. and it's an opportunity for us to bless God with what we do with it.
Now, do you bring out some of that principle of this sowing and reaping in the book that you wrote, the good book?
Yeah, every opportunity I get. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to sow an apple seed and get oranges, right? You can't do that. So every word out of coming out of your mouth, you have to get an account for. I mean, his word is alive. And you can tell by what's really in that person's spirit and what they're hearing and who they're associated with just by what comes out of their mouth. It says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I tell you what, and you can see the results of what they speak to. You can see the results. You will know them by their fruit. I tell you what, I am very careful about the people that I associate myself with. And very careful about what I hear. My wife does this a lot. She rebukes a whole lot of stuff. I mean, she'll rebuke you in a minute if you ain't saying the right thing. It ain't about healing. It ain't about prosperity. It ain't about God's word. It ain't in line with that. Guess what? She'll rebuke you in a minute. And so she's a nice reminder. She's a nice reminder. They say if you find a good wife, you find a good thing. And we've been married for almost 37 years. I don't think many entrepreneurs could say that, can they? Huh? So as they were saying, girl, you can do that bad by yourself, you know what the guy says, right? You know what the guy says? You don't know what the guy says?
No, tell them what they say.
What they say, you know they won't let you do that. Now, you can imagine this. Have you heard that before? You know they won't let you. No, I know when you first started your ministry, they talking about, you know they won't let you do that. I'm still looking for him. I'm still looking behind me. Where is he? He's going to stop me from doing this. Especially, you know, I learned something several years ago that was really important for me. Really important for me because it made me do things a little bit differently. I really began to watch what I said with my mouth. I really began to act a little bit differently and act upon what God says I am, not what man says I am. And go in Ephesians 3:20, look at it right now. It says, glory be to God that works within us, that can do exceedingly above all that you can think, dream, or pray for. You think about that. He works within you, and me, you, and he can do exceedingly above all that I can think, dream, or pray for. That's pretty big, ain't it?
Now, what happened in that situation?
When I began to think about my business differently. I began to think about, you know, what's possible in our business. I mean, last year we did over $5 billion in business, globally. This year we'll do 6.5, 7. You know, because, I mean, but God always looks beyond your circumstances. We should be looking beyond our circumstances as well. That's what faith really is. He's given us all a measure of it, right? And it's impossible to please God without your faith. It's impossible. And so I'm not looking at this business as it looks today. I'm acting and talking and walking and saying well beyond that. You think about worldwide technology. I had 4,000 square feet, 5 people, 4,000 square feet, 5 people at 127 Weldon Parkway in St. Louis. And I had nerve enough to call this company Worldwide Technology. That's the same reaction I got. I got a lot of laughs. So I kind of know how Noah felt. Building a big ship and you know, and God told him to do it, and they had never seen rain before, and I kind of felt like that. Only person that was, you know, kind of by my side was my wife for 37 years. And, you know, she said, go for it. Go for it, baby.
Now, in Worldwide, I know in coming up and making this company what it is, you had some challenges. I mean, real challenges. And even in times where people may not have spoken too well about you. What came out of that? How did God adjust your love life as far as that is concerned and so forth, your love walk?
Growing up in Clinton, Missouri, and growing in a kind of that segregated environment that we're talking about, and being integrated into the school system and so forth, people weren't that nice. It was challenging, and God was preparing me then for today. And to be an overcoming. One of the things I learned from my parents and I thought was really significant coming out of Clinton, Missouri, and I learned this from my wife over and over again, because they had it much worse than I did. And and then of course all of us have had an experience of from lynching and being denied opportunities that you have had, and being, you know, degraded. All these things happen, and that's behind us. You know, it's behind us.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking forward to. And my mom and dad through all of that. You know, one of the things I saw that was as significant as anything I saw growing up is the power of forgiveness. And not only power of forgiveness, but getting over it and getting over it quick. And moving on.
Yeah.
Because it steals your time. It steals your energy. It steals your focus. It blinds you from the vision that God has for you. It robs you of your faith, you know. And the fear that comes with that as well. And I tell you, that is one of the most powerful tools I use to this day. And people think that's weakness. It's not. It's God's love showing through you and using you in a way that he couldn't use you any other way. And it's powerful. And growing up in the environment, the hardships and the challenges, the many businesses I've had over the years, Worldwide isn't the only business I've had. I've had four or five failures, would you say? Four or five failures. I've gotten my car repossessed. How many people can have your car repossessed? I say, okay. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. The truth will set you free. I don't. It'll bother me. That's what happened. We even had. I mean, I remember coming home one time. We were in such bad. We had millions of dollars in debt. We were challenged, but you know, still had faith. Still looking forward to. Knew that we had something very, very special that we were doing out of St. Louis, being a person of color, and you know, building these relationships. And one of the things that my mother-in-law did during that period of time as well is she said, honey, you just go on Psalms 91, just check it out. You know, you meditate on that. And we did, and we prayed through it and the whole bit. But, you know, it's hard to see the blessing and all that, but it was truly a blessing because it made us a better company as a result of it, made me a better person as a result of it. And I know without a doubt in my mind, the source. Only God could have brought us through that period of time. There's no denying that. So I give honor where honor is due, and I give him praise, honor, and glory. I have we bought a house down at the lake, and we have this boat, and We it's 48 foot Sea Ray, and it's, you know, so we get on every now and then, kind of cruise down a little bit. Anyway, we have a good time. Our family does, and the whole bit. So we're thinking, what are we going to name this? And my wife came up with a perfect name. You know what that name is? The boat is Glory. And so when we go down the channel, up and down the channel, we're just riding around and around. You know that we own the black folks out there, right? Okay. One of them said, "That boy done stole that boat." Running around here in Glory. It's true. And so you think about that. So they had to say, there goes Glory. Mm. Manifests itself,
that's
right?
Good. That's good.
Amen.
Now, on your company, how did you transition from being an employee to an owner? How did that happen?
So, it was all about faith. So, getting past fear. I had some good examples of that all through the Word of God, that where people walked in faith. They walked by faith, not by sight. And I tell you, taking those blinders off is difficult. And having the courage to walk in faith. Having the courage to walk in faith, you know, and you can't walk in fear and have faith. You got to have either one or the other. And because there are many naysayers, you're going to have them with friends, you're going to have them with family, you're going to have with your next door neighbor, you're going to have all those people try to speak fear. So you might not have very many friends. In fact, you may not have any. And you may not have a spouse either, because I tell you what, you find out who you're married to when you go through difficult, challenging times. Not when things are good. Everybody wants to be married to me now. I mean, it's the truth. Come over here and talk to me. My wife goes, anyway, it's the truth. And things that you need to actually know about your spouse that you probably don't want to know, right? Is that comes out when you're going through the most challenging time in your life. And that's one of the reasons I love her so much, because of us going through that together and her being encouraging and loving and caring and giving us God's word and giving me what I needed, and that was prayer. And boy, we turn on the TV and guess what we see? You and Kenneth Copeland. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, she'll tell you. And you were giving us the word. That's what we needed. We knew the source. We're going to the word. So I will be forever grateful for you for you answering the call. I'm one of your biggest fans as well, and so.
Now, maybe that's what Job was going through when his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?"
I hear you.
The Worldwide Technologies was founded in 1990. What was your initial vision for the business?
You know, one of the things that happened years before that, through the difficult and challenging times I had with other businesses, I was, I initially, in 1984, bought a business. I bought a business. I didn't have any money to buy a business. What I'm thinking, I'm going to go buy somebody's business. I had two cars and the mortgage and living paycheck to paycheck, a wife, two children. Now, all the things that go along with it. What do you think you're going to buy a business? and you ain't never owned a business, and you don't know how to acquire a business as well. You don't have that skill or ability, but again, with faith and confidence and reassurance that, you know, hey, believing in the unseen, I'm going to buy a business. And that's what I did. I ended up convincing a guy to sell me his business for nothing down. And then you know what God will give you what you need, right? I used his assets. This is the truth. I'm telling you, I used his assets to get a bank loan to give him a down payment, and had him carry back the rest.
Okay.
You don't need no money. Everybody said, "Well, I don't get enough capital. I ain't got enough this. I ain't got enough that." God will give you what you need.
He will.
So here I am. So here I am. You know, I got this business. The business is in St. Joseph, Missouri. I'm in St. Louis. And then I had an office in Kansas City as well. Gave part of the business away. It's interesting. You gave part of the business away. I had a guy operating the business in St. Joseph, Missouri. And as a result of that, I did what I did best, and that was really connect people. I knew how to build relationships. I knew how to sell. I knew how to do that, and began to sell General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, Pfizer Chemical Company, Abbott Laboratories, Campbell Soup, Cargill, ADM, some of the biggest corporations in the world. I convinced them to do business with me too. And grew the business, and then it was a business that audited freight bills for overcharges. We got money back from the various carriers and brought it back. A black man in that business? I've always done something unusual kind of stuff. And then, we're finding just as many undercharges as we are overcharges. Gosh, I work for the railroad industry. I'm going to go talk to the railroads and see if we'll do an undercharge audit. People thought I was crazy because a 150-year-old railroad, that culture never changes, right? They could never do that. How is that possible? And I'm going to talk to them too. A black man going to talk to them about that? It goes to show you that your reputation is everything. If you have a reputation of having done good works, you know, and you're sowing seed of that, and you've got a personal brand, as well, your reputation will precede you. He will go before you and make a way, right? That spirit will go before you and make a way, right? Out of no way. And so the spirit went before me. Reputation was there. I convinced them to do business with me. And the first time in the history of the railroad industry, they're going to do an undercharge audit with me. Now, I was surprised too. Because all of a sudden, I've got a mega railroad, class one railroad, one of the largest railroads west of the Mississippi, the Union Pacific Railroad that I had worked before because I was at Missouri Pacific, had acquired the Missouri Pacific Railroad Company. And I've got 3 years of information that I'm gonna have to manage in 1987. So in 1987, I built one of the first land systems in the Midwest. And what we did, we hung 8088 machines on it. We had a file server, a mother station. We called it mother station back in those days, 660 megabytes. And we upgraded it from 330 megabytes. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then we had a gateway tied to the railroad themselves to pull over the ASCII file. You're an IBMer,
yep,
right?
Yep.
We took a converter box and we downloaded that ASCII file down into our LAN system. We used Clipper C++ to develop a software application to do the audit, 30 times fast to 40 times fast, the railroads going to do them themselves. And we were using internet and intranet applications We didn't know what it was. All we were doing was solving a business problem.
Yeah.
That couldn't have happened with a mainframe because it wouldn't have the flexibility to be able to do what we were trying to do and do it as quickly as we were trying to do it as well. Gave us scale, gave us the ability to be able to handle huge amounts of data. Well, that's all relative, right? To be able to manage a program for the railroad, and then we got the Union Pacific, we got the Santa Fe, we got the Southern Pacific, we got the Chicago Northwestern, we had the Burlington Northern, we had every Class One railroad west of the Mississippi. So, was I in the business of using technology in a new and innovative way, or was I in the business of auditing freight bills? So, evolving out of that is this company called Worldwide Technology in 1990. Hmm. I mean, God will lead the way.
Well, what then, okay, so that leads me into this question. What's the difference between in running a $1 million business and a $1 billion business?
Well, it says be faithful with a little bit and he'll bless you with much. So, be a good thousandaire first, right? You got good thousandaires in here? Okay. That'll get you to a million. There is a difference. I mean, you got to think like a billionaire. You know, I was in New York. I was inspired by a couple of things that happened to me. I was going there. I thought I was going to give something and get speech in a little bit. I had the chief administrative officer for Bank of New York Mellon. Everybody knows who Bank of New York Mellon is. I mean, the oldest bank in this country. Right? And I'm having their executives there, and there are some other people, number of other people there ready to listen to me and hear my story. And we had a business relationship and so forth as well. There's some strategic things that we do for them and continuing to broaden that relationship. We do from J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, you know. I mean, we're the biggest banks in the world. We're doing business with our new. Anyway, I'm having a casual conversation with them before I go up to speak. And he says to me, I'm asking him a couple questions about the bank, and you know, and he's giving me the feedback, and so I asked him a question about the size and scale and kind of transactional stuff that they were doing. And he said, you know, well, we do about every day, we do about $1.7 trillion a day in transactions. I didn't get jealous, I got inspired. That says it's more than possible. If they can do it, I know we can too. They gotta have the system to run on, and I'll bet you I'll put our systems up against anybody in the world. That's why we're a $5 billion company. So what you do is that you build that infrastructure for a $20 billion company. Not when you're a $20 billion company, when you're a $5 billion company, right? So your decision-making changes as a $20 billion company. And you speak that into being, just like you do in the Word of God. Call those things that be not as though they were, right? So it's contagious. And you serve like a multi-billion dollar company opposed to $1 million company, and what it says, my people perish for the lack of vision, right? How big can you think? The only thing that inhibits us is ourselves, because we want to look at everything in a box, right? Limitations, you know, so we can comprehend and study and understand, and you know, I first thing comes to my mind, vision. Big vision, bold, you know, courageous to be able to even speak it because you're afraid of being embarrassed, right? Or people, what people may say or what they may think. I don't care. All I'm concerned is what God says, what His Word says, and what is the truth. And I don't want to be around folks. iron sharpen irons. I could be around you. He think big. We can have a conversation. Because so he knows the power of the word of God and what it means and the significance of it. And we can have a conversation and we'll be batting back and forth and we're sharpening and helping and supporting one another's vision that God has for us, his call that he has for us as well. And what can I do to help? How can I help you do that? How can I sow the experience that I've had and the challenges I've had, that's for me to share. That's the blessing that it is, you know. And how does that correlate with, the word of God? Because I'm never going to give you any advice or counsel. I'm never going to give you that's not in the word of God, so you can read it for yourself. I want you to read it for yourself. And when I wrote Doing Business by the Good Book, that's milk. If you really want the real meat, go to the word of God itself.
Why, and maybe this is an obvious question, why did you choose the technology field?
Persons of color are conspicuously absent in the IT arena. It's evolving so quickly. And even us, we have to evolve very quickly. We have to change very quickly. Our ability to be nimble, entrepreneurial, flexible, open to change, our ability to be able to be putting other people first, putting others first, being willing to serve, and being able to invest time, effort, and energy, and resource into making them better is really something we've got to do. There's a set of core values at Worldwide that you have to adhere to. That's something that never changes. All the other stuff changes. This never changes. That's the core foundation and cornerstone of how we operate the business and have the ability to be able to scale and grow and be that competitor we've got to be in the marketplace. And we were prepared to invest time, effort, and energy. My biggest job is to serve. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And everything else will be added unto you. Seek to serve in a way. My biggest job to do that and do that within the organization. It fosters an environment of service and commitment to others. It's a culture of service, you know, and then it permeates out to the collaboration and partnerships we have. They know without a question, we're going to make them better companies, work with us versus us, work with anybody else. Do you know we're the largest network company for Cisco in the world? Last year we bought $2.5 billion worth of networking equipment from Cisco. John Chambers, he'll return my call. Whether it's Cisco, whether it's EMC, whether it's Dell, whether it's VMware, whether it's Citrix, whether it's HP, you go down the line, we're top 2 to 3, no more than 3, in the world for every one of those companies as a partner. They want to work with us. They want to work with us because we are investing energy, time, love, care, and making them better, more competitive companies, us being involved with them and in partnership with them and putting their best interests before our own. And guess what happens? They bring deals to us, we bring deals to them, and at the same time, guess what? It permeates out to the customer. The customer begins to recognize these kind of guys are synonymous. They kind of work together really well. They make us a better company. They're putting our best interests first. We have one of the only advanced technology center. It's one of a kind in the world. People can virtually come in free and learn how to use this next generation of technology online across the technology. in the cloud, virtualization, and really determine how these new, latest, greatest, leading edge technology will work in their environment. We do that because we want those companies to be better companies.
See, you're advancing the kingdom, because that's kingdom thinking, to lift the burden off of people's lives. That's what you're doing.
You know, thank you. Mm-hmm. So in that environment, what I have an obligation to do? I have an opportunity to speak the word of God at the sea level and sow seeds a little bit at a time that really makes a significant difference in those businesses, in the lives of the people that work within those businesses as well, an opportunity to be able to share milk and sometimes meat, you know. And it's okay to pray and it's okay to talk about Jesus. I make it okay because I'm professing it. If you ever get an email from me, it always say on the end of it, God bless. You hear that? It always says God bless. Because I want to acknowledge him. I want to praise him. I promised him. I said, Lord, and you know you've done this before too. Now, you tell me if you didn't do this. Lord, if you just get me out of this.
You're establishing a platform that other people will see and want to know about your God. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
It's fun.
Yes, indeed. Let me ask you the last question. What is the future of David Stewart or Worldwide Technologies? What are you looking for to do in the days ahead? What do you want to do?
You know, in regard to I talked a little bit about it earlier, and there's various technologies and various things that we're doing in the marketplace that are pretty significant to this country and to the rest of the globe. You know, security is a huge issue. Cybersecurity is a huge issue. What we're doing, whether it's in the banking industry, or whether it's utilities, or whether we're doing in the healthcare arena, or whether we're doing it with the federal government, or in the intelligence agencies behind the firewall, from secret, top secret, SEI cleared, and the strategies around that, and how we can enable this country to be secure. On the internet. Everybody has a cell phone, wireless, well, BYOD, and all the things around that. The security of that and the banking system is a huge area. The things that people talk around big data is huge around data, from data mining to, you know, obviously business intelligence is a huge area that we're putting a lot of time, effort, money, and resource into the supply chain itself. How that's managed and how it's secured is something that we have developed that is one of a kind in the world right now. That our government is looking at and how we replicate that in our RFP process. You know, those are just a kind of a few things that are happening right now. What we use and how we define what the next generation of technology is going to look like. We have influence relative to that. The thing for me is, how do I better connect the disenfranchised to that technology and what's happening? The intellectual capital that's there, which is immense, being lost as our next generation of cyber warriors and technologists and what they call data scientists, they're calling them now. Okay, and getting people interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, and owning something. Yeah. I mean, I like you guys, and you're smart and that whole bit, but have the courage to go own something. Okay, and because you're more than surely a lot smarter than I am. I mean, I would say to you is that challenge yourself to get past the fears, about misconceptions. Be careful about the people that you're around, because they will, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If you listen to something else, those fears begin to enter into your spirit. you have going to have some challenges overcoming that, you know. And so get immerse yourself in the Word of God, because it will heal you. It will provide you. It won't make you rich. It won't make you rich. I'll tell you right now, it won't make you rich. It'll make you wealthy. There's a difference. That's a big difference. And the joy of, and you'll understand something else that I've really begin to manifest and learn more about. There's a power of giving that to community and to others, and reaping and sowing that you can't get any other way. I'm here to witness this. People were saying, why are you spending so much time in the community? United Way, Variety Club, the Boy Scouts, we've got, you know, things that we're giving to and investing in our church and the community. Obviously, too much to give them much required, right? I said to them, because it pays so well. You get that? It pays in ways. It is hard for me to describe the joy and the peace and the love and the, you know, that comes from that. I was in tears. This was about, 3 months ago. I was stepping down as a Variety president, and they did this tribute, and just watching those kids, you know, see, I can because of you.
Yes.
And they're seeing, you know, something a little bit different, because they've never seen persons of color be in that kind of leadership role and giving in a way that of time and energy and resource, which begins to, gosh, recompute the way they look at persons of color. And I hope that kind of ministry will show you, people begin to realize in the generation to come how valuable the full body of Christ is.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Stewart. Just a minute. Now, if you'll be seated for just a moment, we just wanted to have just a few minutes for any questions that may have come in your mind as you heard this interview. We have microphones, I think one on the right and one on the left. So if there are any questions that you might have that David can answer very quickly, please raise your hand and we will acknowledge you. I have one over on this side, all the way over here, and one over here. Okay. So let's start with where's the microphone? You have a microphone over here. Let's start with the one over here, John, and we can go. Stand to your feet and give your name.
I'm Veronica Parker. Thank you, Mr. Stewart, for your wisdom and information. I'm the president and CEO of AWM Global Corporation, and I'm going to ask you to consider mentoring our company in the government sector. We have been around for 15 years. We have a sister company, and the value proposition is that we're well able and capable and have past performance. We're set aside in a number of areas: service disabled, 8A pending, hub zone, woman owned. We have a track record. We've covered a gross $17 million over the last several years, and we're hard workers. We're aggressive. We're not coming for a handout. We're coming for information to walk into your footsteps to be a blessing to God on a larger level. And so with that, I would just request that you consider us, because it would be a benefit to both of us.
Okay, if you just go ahead.
Because it is important that we have a diverse supply chain. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Malcolm Goodwin is here. With me on our team, and he can put you in contact with the right people. Raise your hand, Malcolm, if you stand and visit. Interesting. This just happened. We built a brand new headquarters. It was built by an African American company. You know, which I'm really kind of excited about. We've in our supply chain last year we spent of discretionary dollars, I think we spent like 37%, right? And I think we did, 150 million? We spent with diversity companies. I think, and then we have this whole collaboration and partnership with 8A, the disadvantaged businesses, Hub Zone companies, and disabled vet companies. We do probably about $1.5 billion worth of business on the federal side. We probably know as much. We on the IT side, we're doing as much business federal, and whether it's in through the GSA schedule, BPAs, BOAs, or whether it's IDIQs, that we're doing business as well. We're in the intelligence community. We're behind the firewall, NSA, FBI, you know, stuff that we're doing with CIA and others. Very few companies ever even see that business and opportunities because they're never there. You know, and so we've learned that federal business. We've got a pretty substantial operation in Washington, D.C., one in Herndon, Virginia. The other one's in near Fort Meade in Baltimore, near NSA. And we have great friends, deep relationships there, and have had them for a number of years. And we are supporting our troops around the globe.
Hello, Mr. Stewart. I appreciate this opportunity to hear from you. I'm also, as a pastor, involved in the technology area. Do you allow companies to come visit your company to learn about this new technology and how you do it? And in particular, companies that are involved in the technology area. As you know, there are very few blacks and people of color in this area. And I was wondering, if, with all the great leading edge technology and products you do you provide opportunities to connect, learn, and that kind of thing?
We're a authorized training company as well. That's one aspect that we do. In fact, these companies around the globe are coming in virtually and learning about this technology. So whether you're there physically or you're coming in virtually, or the way we configured in a way that allows you to be able to train and educate yourself on it, it scales as well. And so and you can help put data in there, your data, so you can actually, you know, tailor and test across the various technologies in order to see how it works in your environment. And so that that's free. That's just to have a conversation. And it's likely that, you know, we just trust that, you know, it works like it's supposed to, right? Given, it will be given to you, right? I mean, and if it doesn't, that's okay too. You know, I mean, you're not going to say bad things about us. You'll say good things about somebody else. I'm good with that too. It doesn't necessarily come back from the person you give it to. But your reputation and your brand is everything. And I'm going to protect our brand around my personal brand, my wife and I, and our business being viewed. And I hope the legacy will be that they were known as givers. They were known as giving God's gift very freely, without any inhibitions at all, because it was just the right thing to do. And there's a supernatural power you get from giving that you can't get any other way.
Last question.
Last question. Over here.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Read your book about 8 years ago. When it first came out, it was in a little church group in a local community that actually did a study, a home study. And it just so happens tomorrow, on a much smaller scale, me and my wife, who've been a small local ministry, baptized here 14 years ago, 5 years, prayed for a wife for 5 years, met her, brought her here. She got baptized here. I was delivered from, I mean, I got the testimony, I'd keep you here, you know, all night. But let's just say I was tore up from the floor up. And something got, you know, stirred up in that baptism over there. Amen. And God's been good. I'm going to tell you, you know, I've supernaturally been increased. But tomorrow, We've got this religious organization, Pottersfield Ministries, and we've opened up a store in Summit, a thrift store, because we've inherited four warehouses in Kankakee just filled with like clothes and books and toys and all this, more stuff than what I know what to do with. And when I first happened, it's like the Peter story. I got this net with all this fish, right? And I'm like, if I don't move this, it's going to rot. So I know Peter had to do something with that fish after he got that catch. So stepping out in faith with no cushion, I left a janitor job, doing part-time, well, doing ministry and doing a part-time janitor job for $280 a week, which was just making our rent and our bills and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And with no cushion and faith, we're stepping out and we're getting the key. We got the business license. We got all this stuff. As a matter of fact, my wife ain't here right now because her and some friends are packing up a charitable FedEx truck in Kankakee to bring all this stuff to the storefront tomorrow. And we're just stepping out there with nothing. You know what I mean? Kind of remind me when you talked about coming out here with a duffel bag. But, okay, this is my question. Sorry. Do you have any advice for just a guy like me who is really just, I'm passionate, man, for Jesus and for bringing his kingdom and just loving people and hoping to be used by God to be a local and global blessing?
Well, I will say the power of his word. I just talked a little bit about you don't have anything. That's not true. That's not true. You got his word. Okay? You got all you need in the word of God itself, and sow the word. You just were sowing it just a few minutes ago. Take claim on it. Your 30, 60, 100 fold. Always claim 100 fold return. I mean, you got nothing? No, wait a minute, no. Hey, it's coming from your mouth. Oh, my wife, uh-oh, rebuke you. Not you, what you're saying. I apologize to you. Just use his word, the power of his word.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous gift there of seed that you can't get anywhere else.
Praise
so
God.
Use that.
David Stewart, let's give him a hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand. Tremendous.